In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Dear saints, our sermon text is our epistle, Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 25 through 6, if you want to follow along in your bulletins. Beginning with verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgressions, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Dear saints, if we live by the Spirit, and we do, your breath, your family, your money, your health, your righteousness, everything comes from God. His love, His joy, His peace, His patience, His kindness. If you live by the Spirit, everything comes from Him. If He would withdraw His Spirit, you would perish. The reason that your heart is beating is because God and His Word. All things temporal, all things eternal come from God in His Word. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. That is, if we live by the Spirit, that is the reality, let us then act like this is a reality. His gifts, His life, His fruit, His Christ, His forgiveness, that is how we live, through Him. Now, compare that with an addiction that I have. And you have as well. And perhaps it's best summarized by a king. A Burger King, that is. As the slogan goes, have it your way. My way. Or the highway. If it's all about me, it's all about mine. It's all about my favorite thing to talk about, my favorite thing to listen to, my favorite thing to think about is me. If we live by the Spirit, there was a writer that wrote this fantastic phrase during a breakup. He was breaking up with his girlfriend, and this was the reason that he gave her. This was the reason for the breakup. He says, I love you, but I'm in love with myself more. And that's the problem. I love you, but I'm in love with myself more. I like to listen to you, but I like to listen to myself more. If we live by the Spirit, by Him, through Him, in Him, everything comes from God. Now, what would happen if everything is about me? And I'm really smart, a great leader, a handyman, athletic, or really caring. I have these really wonderful gifts that you should want. I am this person that you should want to be. And maybe there's some truth to that. Maybe I am a better worker. Maybe I am a better parent. Maybe I am just a better person. And you're thinking about all the people that you think apply to those around you in which you think that you're better at. And maybe there is some truth to it. Maybe they should act a little more like you. But what happens if everything is about me? What happens if you are someone that I want to be? Or if you have something that I want to have, and then hear this warning and admonition again. Verse 26. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. What happens if I start to build on my righteousness, my I'm better than you And then I find you failing at something, sinning, true sin. And maybe it's something that I'm not struggling with. Maybe it's because, in fact, you and I are different. We have different ages, as if different age groups could struggle with different sins. Maybe it's because you and I have come from different circumstances, as if that could be a way in which the devil tempts you. And then hear this admonition again. Verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, and that is a very important word, caught, as if sin lures you in, as if sin is attracting you, and then all of a sudden, traps. As if lust or anger or worry. If anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual, who live by the Spirit, who have the Spirit, who know you live by the Spirit, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit. Live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. For those who so often think, having it my way, for those who so often think, I love you, but I'm more in love with myself. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. What happens if, as I'm getting ready to tithe, as I'm getting ready to write that check, I think about my wants, my needs, my desires? I think, I love you, God, but I'm going to be honest, I'm more in love with myself. And that's the problem. What if I'm thinking about me, 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 rather than what our Lord has said, at least 10% as of first fruits? And then hear this admonition, verse 6. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he reap. What happens if the good that we're doing, we do it for the praise and the glory of others, to make them admire us and to compliment us, and that dries up? We never get thanked. We never get praised. Or if we did, it stops. What happens but weariness and frustration? And then hear this admonition again, verses 9 and 10. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Dear saints, be encouraged. The good that you are planting, the prayers in which you are praying, the words in which you are speaking, the love and the mercy in which you are showing, for those who plant, there will be a reaping. But we want to see immediate results so often. But we sow in the Spirit, and we trust that the Spirit does good through those good things. What is sown is what is reaped, and it is so often to see what is sown when the reaping has come. So here's the picture. A zucchini seed and an orange seed look exactly the same, I think. Maybe they don't to you, but they do to me, at least on Google. But when you plant them, they still look the exact same. But when they grow, when that which is reaped, you begin to see that there's a slight difference between a zucchini and an orange. And so we come to church and we begin to think, we begin to confess and meditate on what has been reaped. We look in our lives in our spiritual lives, in the things in which we can't see, and in the things in which we do see, and we ask, what has been reaped? And then we can begin to think, what have I sown? And one of the biggest things that is reaped, our Lord Jesus says, worry. If you find worry in your life, what have you reaped? Our Lord Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. He says, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? He asks, why are you anxious? And he says, O you of little faith. That is what is sown. Our little faith, our doubt, our breaking of the first commandment, you shall have no other gods, our reaping to the flesh. And then what is reaped is our anxiety, our worry, our fear, and our constant disappointment. But if we live by the Spirit, oh, and what a beautiful phrase that is. That word, if, is meant to excite your faith. It is meant for you to be, what do you mean if? I do. Of course. What do you mean if my sins are forgiven? Of course they are, and then I'm free. What do you mean if God is faithful to his promise that he will never leave me or forsake me? Of course. What do you mean if everything is God's? Of course the Spirit has given me faith to see that not only he has given me everything, but that he has specially given me Christ's righteousness. And that this Spirit is constantly pitying us, giving us life, and speaking into us this truth. That your Lord Jesus Christ recognized that you were caught. That you were trapped. And quite often, you so often are trapped, caught in transgressions. You were lured in and now they have trapped you. Or maybe you dove in and now you cannot give out. Your Lord Jesus Christ recognized that your master was death and God's wrath and condemnation, that we are so often too weak in the faith, and that we too often so doubt of his word and think having it my way is the best way. And then when we reap our pain and our worry and fear and anxiety, when we reap the fact that we have hurt ourselves and we have others, we recognize that we have reaped the wrong thing to the flesh. Our Lord recognized this, and thus he was caught, allowed himself to be caught by soldiers, led to be judged and condemned, and he is risen from the dead to declare to you in a fantastic spirit of gentleness that you are free. And so while we so often sow to the flesh, he is sowing in us his beautiful word that preaches mercy, his continual cleansing and his wisdom. He is planting in us these things that excite faith when he says, do not fear. When he says, your Father knows you need them, as if your Father knows exactly what you need and everything. When he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Our Lord Jesus is sowing into you today his very body and his blood, that you might be reminded that he has borne your burdens and that his load is light. So bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Our Lord Jesus sows in you his word that gives faith this wonderful confession. Heavenly Father, have it your way. Thy will be done. And then we confess, gracious God, I love you. But I too often am more in love with myself. Take that away and help me to love you more than I love myself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Renew our right spirit within.